This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is 9 must-do strategies to achieve your 2019 goals. But before we get started, hey, Happy New Year. I am so stoked that we are starting off this year together and that we had great things ahead for 2019. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we do. Some great stuff is ahead. So we're going to talk about some of that today. But first, I just want to say, hey, thanks for just letting us take a little break here. You know, normally we just kind of plow through or we maybe take a week off or something, but we took a little bit more time off this time just to be with family and just to enjoy the holidays. It was a great time, and I hope you had a wonderful time too. I hope you got out there and spent some quality time with the kids and the wife or the husband or the dog or whatever, you know, that it was just a good time for you. I hope also that you enjoyed some of our best of episodes that we featured during the little time off there. I love going back and listening to some of the episodes that I think are some of the most popular ones out there that just have some great info you can take away with you there. And hopefully you felt the same and look like by the number of downloads that plenty of you guys were enjoying them. So thank you for that. Now, are you stoked about the new year or not? I mean, you know, I'm just one of these guys. I love new beginnings. I love going out there and getting things going, planning, and just making it happen. This year, I think 2019 is going to be just awesome. Already, I'm seeing some great stuff on our end, and I'm stoked. I mean, we've got a great year ahead here at the Old Dogs REI Network. Some awesome guests that are scheduled, some new topics we haven't covered before, and some new strategies, tips, techniques, and things like that we'll be sharing as well that I think you're going to find helpful. Next Fun Fact Friday, I'll try to share a little bit more on, you know, what's happening with us and our properties and our goals for 2019 and how we're going to be implementing some new strategies to not only boost value in our existing properties, but, you know, tweaking things like maintaining high occupancy, little tips here and there that we're putting into place as we're preparing for the year ahead. So I hope you're going to enjoy that, but let's jump right into our topic, 9 must-do strategies to achieve your 2019 goals, all right? You know, when I was a kid, one memory I have, I will never, ever forget. And you may have a memory like this too. But we had this one family vacation. Okay, I always kind of think of Chevy Chase when I think of family vacations here. But it probably was just about as crazy as, you know, the vacations that they took. But it was the one great trip that we took. And my dad just got all of us together for this one big trek. He had just inherited from my uncle Bill, who actually was my namesake. And he left us this Ford pickup truck and a 27-foot Silver Streak trailer. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those before, but it kind of looks like a submarine on wheels. Yeah, it's very bizarre and real shiny and just, you know, just looks like a submarine. So he bought this cover for the back of the truck, and it had windows and a little entrance door and all that stuff. And he built these little beds out of plywood You had like a storage compartment underneath them. And my brother and I would sit on the beds and, you know, that's where we'd sleep on our journey and read comic books. And, you know, we didn't really have, you know, all the electronic toys that kids have today. You know, we just kind of, you know, took pictures and wrote things and drew pictures and read comic books and books and other things. It was just fun. And he was a mechanical engineer, my dad. He actually worked for NASA on the Saturn V project with Dr. Von Braun. It was a pretty exciting time for him. And I used to love, the thing I loved about it most is he always brought me these NASA stickers that I stuck all over my notebooks and my books and my walls and everything. It was pretty cool. But anyway, so he is an engineer. So he kind of looked at this trip as an engineer would look at it. And those of you, I know we have a lot of engineers out there, but you know, everything was very detailed. He had it wired down. In fact, you know, one of the big high tech things that we had going on this little setup here is that there was a push button intercom system that he created. We could talk to the front of the truck and he could talk to us. And that was just like the coolest thing. We would make funny noises in there and try to scare my dad while he's driving and stuff. But anyway, so this trip was amazing. We're in Southern California. That's where I grew up. And this was like in the early 60s. So most of you guys, I don't know how many of you guys even were alive in the 60s, but hey, all the old dogs, you can relate to this, right? So we started in Southern California, drove north up through Central California to the gold country. That's actually where my dad was born. He was born in Sutter Creek, California, where gold was discovered. Actually worked in the gold mines, that's right. And my grandfather worked in the gold mines. He was an Italian immigrant. But anyway, we went through Yosemite, Napa. We cut over to the coast, to the Redwoods, up to Oregon, Washington, Canada, went into British Columbia, Vancouver Island, Bouchard Gardens, I remember it. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Then we traveled east, you know, through Canada, you know, checking out, you know, some of the cool provinces there. And then we dropped down into Montana, Wyoming, the Grand Tetons, Yellowstone National Park, Colorado. We saw some of the most beautiful places in the world, I believe. One thing I really loved about the trip was how we tracked the tip. Now, again, I mentioned my dad's an engineer, so he wanted every detail covered. And so, you know, he wanted to know where we're going to be on any given day, the trailer parks we would stay in, the amount of gas that would be consumed from point A to point B. So he knew exactly what gas station he would refuel at. And so he did this one thing that I thought was really cool, and some of you may know about this too, but the American Automobile Club of America, AAA as a lot of people call it, they put together these things called triptychs. I found out they still do them, and but they're these really cool little map booklets that basically you flip through page by page and you know, it has a map to where you're going, the best routes, and highlights all the cool things that you want to see, the tourist stops, the points of interest along the way. And it was really, really exciting. It seemed pretty high tech to me. I mean, it wasn't GPS, but it was definitely very cool. But the big thrill for me was to look ahead and see what was coming up that day. And I'd see, oh man, we're going to go to, you know, this place that has some bizarre thing, you know, the largest stamp collection in the world or something like that. And then, you know, I was really excited about going to Yellowstone National Park. I mean, that was a big one for me because I was a big fan of Yogi the Bear. And I don't know if any of you guys even know who Yogi the Bear is, but I wanted to see Yogi and Boo Boo and the Ranger. And I wanted to hear Yogi say, "Yay, Boo Boo, let's go rub a picnic basket," you know? And I think about, you know, just like all the things that we were going to do. And it was just, it was exciting for me as a kid. I mean, I'm looking at this and I was looking at this triptych. I got to look at it every day. I was just fascinated with this thing. And I would say, oh gosh, you know, we're going to go see this today. And I tell the other kids that maybe didn't look at the triptych, you know, and it was really fun. And I think back on it now, I think it was brilliant of my dad to have this little triptych because he eliminated one of the classic issues on a family vacation. And that is, because we had this triptych, we never once asked, "Are we there yet?" Okay, so it was pretty smart of him to do this. And, you know, it was very cool because I could look on the triptych and I knew exactly where I was. And so I would know how far away we were from the next destination. And it was kind of funny because as I was putting my 2019 strategic plan together for real estate investing, I was thinking back on this. And I kind of thought of that trip and the triptych, and I thought, you know, what a difference it makes when you have your goals all mapped out for you. You can anticipate and get excited about the next destination, the next goal. And when it's all over, you're able to sort of look back on everything and rejoice in the accomplishments that you've made. And you can look at what was the best part of this and that and so forth. And the same thing with your plan. It's the same idea, is that you map out where you want to go, what you want to achieve. And when it's all done and over, you know, you're going to have something really to celebrate. So that's why I talk so extensively on this program about setting goals and developing an annual strategic plan, because it's a great way to achieve a goal. Even more, once you've done it, you realize how easy it is to do it. It's just like I've said before in the show a million times too, is that, you know, the real education starts after you've signed your first set of escrow papers on the first purchase you've made, the first property that you acquire, and you realize that really wasn't that hard. And then you start buying, you know, multifamily units, and you're going, you know, that's not much different than buying a single family home. And you start realizing, but you also learn things along the way. Man, I shouldn't have done this. I should have done that. I should have done, you know, I could have saved myself this money. I would, you know, I could have done this. There's things that you learn in that process. And that's really what the plan is all about. So if you're listening to this and you haven't written your plan, don't worry, it's not too late. You can still put one together. And it doesn't have to be some, you know, 500-page novel here. You know, this is not a business plan. This is a strategic real estate investing plan. It's something just for you. And it's, how are you going to get to the goals that you want to accomplish? And how are you going to accomplish those goals? So once a plan is in place, it's important that this plan be something that you really use. It's not just going to sit on a shelf, okay? So the idea is to see where you are, where you're going, just like that triptych that we had, and that you can evaluate yourself along the way, and you revise it as well. So that's why I'm presenting these 9 tips for you, or these 9 strategies, so that it can be that much more effective for you. Okay, so these are, you know, and there's a lot more that I think you could have, but 9 is really kind of what I narrowed down to, what I think are the 9 top strategies associated with implementing your plan. So let's jump into it here. Number 1, know your why. Now, we've talked about this a lot. I talked about Simon Sinek's book and just the importance of understanding what your why is. Why in the world are you even investing in real estate? You need to understand that, and you need to get a much deeper understanding of what it is. I mean, not just to make more money or financial security or financial independence. No, there's a bigger picture there, and really understanding what's at the heart of that action that you're taking. And I think this is really the key also to staying on focus, is to regularly take a look at your why. I have whys. I have multiple whys that I look at that are motivators for me. You know, one of them is I've got 3 unmarried daughters, and I think of, you know, one day walking them down the aisle in the wedding gown of her dreams, in the wedding of her dreams, and just seeing the joy in her face that, you know, this was something that I could pull off because I had invested wisely and I was able to do that. Or my son going to the college of his dreams. You know, and a big part of it is, anyone that's listened to this knows, you know, we have an organization that we founded called Child Hope International. And I still see the face of the homeless kids on the streets that we worked with. And that's a big motivator for me. So understanding your whys is really key as you move forward. Another thing, and it ties in with that, it really is, if you've ever read the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, another same thing. It's staying focused on one key aspect and making sure that you know what your one thing is for each day of the week, for each month, each year. What is the main thing you're trying to accomplish? Number 2, write a strategic plan that you will review and live daily. That's right. And you live it, because this is what you're doing. This is your focus. It may not be your biggest focus or the biggest thing that you do in your life, but you want to take it seriously. What does it mean? You know, it should be a living document. It should be something that you have on your desk or in your briefcase, your backpack. It's readily accessible. Something you may look at on your lunch breaks or on the plane or on a train ride to work or in an Uber. You know, I mean, this is something that you're going over. You're writing all over it. You're taking notes and making notes on it. Look for opportunities to do things better as you're going along. Maybe you're changing, revising. Hey, you know, I could do better than this. I could do this. I should cut back. I overestimated what I thought I had the time to do, or whatever. You're constantly working with it. You're also creating systems out of it and delegating tasks to save time and be more efficient. And you know, you should hopefully you have. I have mine in a little, you know, 1-inch binder, and you know, it gets worn down, and if I have to replace it during the year, I'm going good. I mean, I'm using this thing. I'm really using it. So that's number two. Number three, education. Spend at least 30 minutes per day learning something new. That should be part of your plan, and that should be part of your focus here. You know, you should be trying to make yourself better at what you do. I think back on the $6 Million Man. I don't know if anyone ever remembers that show, but with Steve Austin, we have the technology to make the first bionic man better than he was before, better, stronger, faster. Well, you know, that's kind of where we're at is, you know, we want to be a better real estate investor, a smarter real estate investor. We want to make right decisions. We want to be able to do things efficiently. You know, spend at least, you know, 1 hour per week, you know, mastering some major real estate investing principle or skill. And those principles and skills are pretty extensive, but they could be something as simple as property analysis. If you don't have actual properties you have to look at, go on to LoopNet or get a hold of, you know, offerings that are out there and do your own property analysis and check them and check the numbers and run it by somebody else. Get a good understanding of just economics, U.S. and global economics, emerging market analysis, you know, to find a good market to invest in. You know, what do you have to look at? What are the key numbers you're looking at? The art of negotiation. You know, learning to master that's a big part of what we do too. Networking and being able to be an effective networker. So, you know, all these various elements that you should be learning, reading books, listening to podcasts on a regular basis. Number four, weekly network building, okay? And real estate, as we know, it's all about relationships. And you should have as part of your plan things such as meet one new person a week at meetups or REI meetings. Or go on Bigger Pockets, find other investors in your area, set up coffee meetings. You could solidify your network by staying in touch with the people you've already made contact with, which is just as important as meeting new people, right? Connect with, you know, maybe five people minimum in your network each week. Just maybe a quick phone call. It could be an email, a text, or you just, you know, swing by and say hi or set up a meeting. Number five, do something monthly to improve your financial position. And this is real key because as you get into bigger and better properties, you're going to be looking at better ways to dealing with bankers and investors that want to know that you are solid. So you're working on things like reducing your debt. You know, maybe it could be personal debt. It could be mortgages that maybe you're paying a little extra to pay down quicker. Improving your credit score. I mean, this is like a hobby for me. I love, you know, working on the credit score. Once you understand it and how it works, you know, for me, it was my big goal was to reach 800. Now I'm at 800. I want to reach 825, and then I want to reach 850. Improve your net worth. You know, what can you do to improve your net worth? Well, you can improve your properties and boost their value. That's going to improve your net worth. You can also reduce debt. There's a number of different things you can do to improve your net worth. But the higher net worth, the better loans you're going to get, and there's a lot of benefits there. Number six, grow and maintain a steady deal flow. This is really key for anybody that's looking for properties is where do your deals come from? And just develop a strategy to create a steady, consistent flow of deals. You know, it could be calling brokers, property managers, wholesalers, agents, or other potential sources. You could make 10 cold calls a week if you could do that. Do direct mail campaigns, text campaigns, social media campaigns. Have strategies to put ads in Craigslist or eBay or to look through these sources and try to find properties. Number 7, submit one LOI a week. Now, I know this is a tough one, and this is especially in today's markets a little tougher, but at least if you have set a goal, you know, it may not always make it each time, but that's okay. You're working toward that goal to at least get an LOI out there and try to put some offers out on properties on a regular basis. Number 8, monetize your actions. And this is really just when I say monetize that, I don't mean necessarily cash, even though it has the word, you know, or money in there, but, it's really just look at your actions and say, how did that work, to increase my profits or increase goodwill or to do something good in the bigger picture of things? Not everything's about dollars and cents. So you need to at least know the consequences as well as the benefits of each action that is in your plan. Okay. Number 9, constantly re-engineer. You know, I'm the son of an engineer. I am totally not an engineer. I'm more on the other side of the scale, but I learned a lot from my dad, who is an engineer. And, you know, reminds me, Jay Scott was on our show, a great guy, a really just super knowledgeable investor, but it comes with from that engineering background. He moved to Atlanta with his wife, quit his job. I think they're working at Microsoft someplace, and moved to Atlanta. He became a flipper with his wife, and it was hot. It was a hot time to flip, and they made a ton of money doing that. But then the market changed, and so they had to sort of recalibrate there and re-engineer. They ended up moving up to DC. They went into buy and hold mode. Doing more buy and hold investing. And last time I talked to them, they were working on multifamily. So, definitely, things may change as markets change and other things change, but you're always looking at your plan. Track every action you take, everything that you do in this plan. Analyze and track your results. Retool or re-engineer to improve your actions, steps, and or results. Always look to make it better. Each year's plan should be superior to the previous year's plan. And as you constantly adapt it and re-engineer it, you should come up with just, more effective results year after year. Beat the previous goals and move that much further. That's it, my 9. This is not by any means all-inclusive, but each one of those items is important if you are to achieve your results. And I'm going to list a bunch of links in here. I didn't read them, but I'm going to have links that are also going to be in here so that if you want to dig deeper on any of these topics, there'll be a reference there. Maybe a podcast, maybe an article, maybe a website you can go to or something that'll help you. But either way, trying to make this helpful for you so that you can start off this year with a bang, right? We're going to really do well in 2019. So make 2019 your year to really make your real estate business take off. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, and there will be links as well, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Just look for the episode entitled 9 Must-Do Strategies to Achieve Your 2019 Goals. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.